No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tame,
tame it to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to, Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain... No, not Captain Ed. Captain Keith? No, not Captain Keith. I don't get either one of them. What the hell's going on here? It's the holidays. That's what's going on. So I got to recruit some fellow aviators to help me round out the crew here at Just Plane Radio this week. And who knows, maybe Ed or Keith will join us before the show finishes up today. To help me out, however, at the beginning, I am calling on my good friend Captain Clay, who is in Wyoming and has winterized his airplane, maybe. I don't know. Is that true, Clay, or what?
Oh, hell no. I never winterize my airplane.
You never winterize. You just fly it in the winter. You just fly straight through 12 months out of the year. Is that the deal?
Well, basically, it's got a heater.
It's got a heater. It has an AC unit for flying down in the Caribbean, and you have a heater there for Wyoming when you're in the winter, I guess.
Yep, yep. Exactly.
Do you need a lot?
It works really well. This particular plane goes up to about 18,000 feet easily, so
yeah.
Even in the summer at those altitudes, having a heater is a good idea.
Really? Do you need it in the summer? Seriously, when you get up that high, it gets too cold up in the plane?
It's usually close to or below freezing at that altitude, even in the summer.
Yeah.
So,
but you're kind of like a cold-blooded person living in Wyoming, so that must be like a fall breeze to you. Am I right?
yeah, something like that. Although, I was reading a review for an airplane. I think it was a Mooney 252, which was a turbocharged single-engine propeller plane. And the guy was saying it, and that thing flies, it's a little four-seater plane, goes up to 25,000 feet. And the guy says, I had it in the flight levels, but at that altitude, the heater feels like a mouse breathing on your foot.
Okay.
I always thought that was a good analogy, but now mine works a little bit better.
All right. It works better than a mouse breathing on your foot. I don't know if that's a testimonial for the equipment you have in your plane, but, that's one way to put it, I guess. Yeah. All right. So you don't even bother winterizing your plane. You don't take it into the hangar and do anything special during the winter? Do you got to put special antifreeze in the thing when you're trying to take off at low temps like you got now, or what?
No, most single engine propeller airplanes are air cooled, so some of them will need maybe a baffle over the oil cooler to keep the oil from running too cold in the winter. Mine doesn't really need that.
Trickle charger on the battery, maybe.
Yeah, maybe if you're keeping it in the cold, it's not in a heated hangar, which I'm lucky enough to have, then it's always a good idea to keep the battery charged up. But really, there's nothing else you need to do to it. The heater's always installed. You've got to pay a little bit more close attention to, cold weather starts. A lot of planes will have a block heater or an oil sump heater to keep the oil temperature above 35 to 40 degrees or so, which, below which you don't really want to start the engine simply because the oil doesn't have the lubricating capacity. And remember, it's an aluminum block, so you don't want to do too much damage to the engine starting it cold if you can avoid it.
Yes, that would be bad. I'm just guessing.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yes, yes. So, now, what about icing? Being in that part of the country, you got to consider that any time, for that matter, depending on how high you're flying. But when it's wintertime in Wyoming, do you put anything special on your plane? Any of that, nonstick, they got that stuff you can spray on your wings so the ice won't form on the wings. Are you bothering with that stuff or no?
Yeah, I do use that. I'm not 100% sure whether it works or not, but I figure it certainly can't hurt. Certainly in terms of pre-flights and flight planning, flying in the winter is there's some additional tasks involved. Most airplanes will have a pitot heat element so that you can heat your pitot tube and not lose your airspeed if you get any icing over the pitot tube. That's important to check in the winter. My particular plane has a heated prop, so before any flight where I expect to possibly hit any clouds, I check that. to make sure that that's working working well. But
How do you check it? Do you reach out the window and say, "Oh yeah, no, it feels warm." No, how do you?
Yeah, you just slow it down as much as possible and run your fingers across it. No, you just turn the heating elements on the ground and before you start the engine, obviously, and make sure that they're heating up. But you know, in terms of pre-flights, in terms of flight planning, winter flying certainly takes there's a lot of additional things to take into account at that point. You can get icing in the clouds anytime where they're freezing or below. And so you want to make, you've got far fewer options potentially in terms of flying in the clouds that you might have during the summer.
Yeah. So, now I'm guessing landing options, are they better when you got snow covered, landscape like that, or worse? I don't really know.
That's a different question as well. I mean, that's certainly another thing to think about. If you're dealing with snow covered runways, then you have potentially minimal braking action. You need to take that into account when you're looking at runway lengths that you can safely land on. Off airport landings, whole different question. In this neck of the woods, generally you can look around and find a dirt road or something that has enough of a fairly straight segment that you can land on. In winter, that's a lot harder to find, so you might want to follow highways or something like that a little bit more often.
I don't know, maybe you get the extra padding. Would that help? Landing on the snow, like on a snow-covered lake that is frozen over, would that be better than landing on a lake in an emergency situation regardless, I wonder? Do you know?
Oh, yeah, probably. I'd certainly be more comfortable landing on a frozen lake in the on a layer of snow with maybe wheels up than potentially landing on the lake itself.
Right.
When it wasn't frozen. But, you've got to check your emergency gear, make sure, in this neck of the woods, I always carry an extra set of coveralls and boots and gloves and hat just in case I end up in an off airport landing situation somewhere. But there's a whole different whole another set of things to consider flying in the winter. But in terms of winterizing the plane, if it's running well, you might, depending on the engine, you might want to use a lower viscosity oil. But other than that, there's really not all that much to it.
So do you like it better or worse than flying in warmer weather? What do you think? I mean, the scenery must be spectacular out there.
It's beautiful, and the advantage of flying in the winter is several fold. First of all, you have better airplane performance. The airplane the air has more density, so the airplane has more power, so it'll perform a little bit better in terms of takeoff and climb. And the other big advantage that I see is that the air is generally a lot smoother. You don't have the thermal activity, you don't have the little bumps and jiggles, and you don't have to deal with thunderstorms generally. You don't have to deal with, flying in, on top of cumulus layers to get the smooth air. It's generally, most often, unless you get mountain waves out here, it's butter smooth. It's really nice.
Yeah. So that's because the sun's not heating up the earth and creating that issue of turbulence and, hot air rising and that kind of thing.
Yep, exactly. Although when I'm with you, there's always some hot air around.
Yes, well, that's true. It's just a matter of what orifice it's coming out of, right?
we won't go there.
Yeah, well, we did. So what are you going to do?
Wish we just have one more openable window in flight.
Oh, so true. All right, well, what do you got planned for the holidays? Are you going to do some holiday flying, or are you going to just stay put there for a little while? What do you think?
No, I'll be doing some flying. I've been planeless. They've been chasing down a little little glitch in my autopilot. Nothing serious, but while I had some downtime, they were chasing that down. Haven't quite found it yet, but next week I'll be headed down to Alabama for a couple days, and probably need to make a few trips down there over the course of the next 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll be flying.
Yeah. Are you going to fly up to the North Pole and say hi to Saint Nick, or do you feel close enough there in Wyoming as it is?
That would be a great idea. Why didn't I think of that?
Hey.
You send me the money for fuel, and I will wing my way up that direction.
Well, it's all about the journey, isn't it? So you could say you did that, on Christmas Eve. You wanted to do something totally out off the wall, and I flew to where would you fly? North Pole.
I've been to North Pole.
Yeah.
It's just south of Anchorage. It's a little town there. Makes most of its money from tourism, for people to say that they visit the North Pole.
So that would be the ultimate fly-in for this time of year, I guess, wouldn't it?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, did you fly your plane into there? Are you kidding me?
No, I drove up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yep. But that would be, I mean, could you do that? I guess you could do that if you wanted to, right?
Yeah, I'm sure they have an airport somewhere near there.
Yeah, I mean, well, they got snow, they got sand, they got ice. You just land on it like, you know, one of those flying Wild Alaska pilots or something from Discovery Channel.
Yeah, exactly.
See, I just came up with another adventure for the holiday season for us to add to the list. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that's not a bad idea. I'm going to have to put that on the list. That would be sort of fun. Although, you know, I've never flown to Alaska before.
Yeah.
But I have thought about it many times. I thought, you know, flying up the Inside Passage. Boy, wouldn't that be beautiful?
Fly up the Inside Passage and then take a little detour to the North Pole.
There you go.
Perfect holiday adventure. There you go. See, we're coming up with things you can do in your airplane for the holidays. Doesn't get much better than that. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and Flight Training Professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
But I saw Santa in his bathing suit, trying to catch a wave, but he tried too soon. He laughed so hard that he could barely breathe and washed up next to me. He said, "You look naughty, but I'm sure you're nice." He was soaking wet, but he cracked a smile with a present in his hand. He said, "It's Christmas in the sand."
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me. And now I am joined by Captain Ed and Captain Keith. So, Ed, check in, say hi, a little bit late, but better late than never, I guess, right?
I was in the green room, you just went and unlocked the door to let me in.
You had to get me a gift for the holidays, and I appreciate the effort.
A chunk of coal.
Okay. Well, that's better than what I got last year, which was like a box of rocks. So I'll consider that
burn the coal.
An upgrade. Now, Keith is not here, even in the area. He is in the woods. Driving on an ATV, is that the deal right now, Ed? He's like hunting.
Yeah.
This is his hunting week where he's going to go try to shoot Bambi for Christmas or something. Is that right?
That's exactly right. We're going to try and put some meat on the table for Christmas this
Okay. All right. And if it's Bambi or Bambi's mom, then, you know,
so
that's, I guess that's just the circle of life. Is that what you're trying to say, Keith?
That is exactly the circle of life. And that's exactly what we're going to try and do. Conservation, hunters conservation. They help all the time.
So my question for you, Keith, is who's winning, the deer or you?
Yeah, really.
Well, so far the deer are winning. But,
all right.
You know,
so Santa's safe. He hasn't lost Rudolph yet to lead his reindeers around the world on Christmas Eve, at least
that's
at
right.
this point. All right. So it'll be anybody's guess. We'll get the full report next week,
yeah.
I guess. Now, are you using any high-tech stuff this year on your little hunting excursion there, Keith? Like, you know, drones? Aren't they incorporating that into these type of hunts you're doing now?
Well, you know, a lot of people are, but, you know how I feel about drones, so...
And, of course, you know, Greg had to bring it up.
Well, of course I did, because there's a big survey out that, it's kind of like one of these unscientific polls that AOPA put out this week.
You could use a drone and you could fly that thing around and sight where all the animals are at.
Right.
But, you know, what kind of fun is that? That's not really hunting.
Okay. Yeah, that's just finding or something. That's a different type of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're
yeah.
saying that actually, the AOPA put out this question. They said, look, pilots, for the Christmas giving season, are you hoping to get a drone for Christmas? And what do you think the odds or what the percentages came out for yes or no? What do you think there, Keith?
Well, I think the odds for me getting a drone for Christmas are pretty slim.
All right. So you put
but
no.
I think the odds for you are fairly large.
Well, then, no, you don't know my wife.
Yeah, I know his wife. Yeah. I think the only way he's getting one, and which, of course, it was definitely possible, is if he buys it himself.
Well, that's true.
Well, that's of course, but it's still for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, what do you think, Ed? As far as when they surveyed all these pilots, they said, are you going to get a drone for Christmas, or would you want a drone for Christmas? What do you think pilots said?
I would have said that there's probably a pretty high percentage that want them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you would be absolutely wrong.
Really?
It was like over 95% said, no, I don't want one.
Ah.
You know, so, you know, and I've been kind of talking about this the last few weeks on the show that, you know, normally, if I had not begun my pilot training a few years ago, I would have been all over this. Like you said, I would probably have several drones by now. Mm-hmm. But when the drone thing started kicking in a couple of years ago, remember we started going, wait a minute, this is going to create some problems with the general aviation pilots or guys like me that have to look out for birds and God knows what else. And I'm not necessarily a big fan of this whole drone thing because of that. And I think that's what we're seeing reflected in this poll, you think that other pilots are maybe feeling the same as I do?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, normally I'd be all about it. I'd love to have a drone. I'd want to have a Millennium Falcon and fly it over to my neighbor's backyard and watch them skinny dip or whatever the hell they're doing over there. You know what I'm saying, Keith? You would do that, right?
Yeah.
Well, I could see using it for that, but I could also tell you that, you know, that, you know, that's not the reason to get a drone. I mean, the checking out the general's daughter sunbathing is one thing, but you know the other thing is that that's the reason why general aviation pilots are saying no, because they've seen everything that's happened, and I totally agree with the AOPA poll.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just I think we see that conflict, and you know that's what they're not making any conclusions from this, but it was very strong response saying no, I don't want one, and I see a serious user conflict issue here.
Yeah,
and I think maybe I'm not alone in this regard. Now you see it as a gateway drug to becoming a pilot.
No.
Learning to fly in a drone. You said that the other way, you know, a couple of weeks ago.
I think it has already brought people to our business.
Yeah.
But it's only because of the government regulation of it saying, okay, to be a commercial operator, you must be a licensed private pilot.
Okay.
And so there are people that are doing it because they don't care about being a private pilot. They don't care about flying the airplane. They want to be able to make money using a drone.
Okay. Well,
and you know, so it is a new segment of business, but it's maybe not the ideal. They don't have the passion for flying that you do or normal customers do.
Yeah. Well, I see what you're saying. True. If they want to go into it from a business standpoint, but from just a, you know, getting familiar with airspace restrictions and issues, because, you know, now like the largest maker of drones is putting out flyers of, you know, what's that program AOPA put together? Know Before You Fly or something.
Yeah. Educating the pilots.
Yeah. They're trying to, you know, work that program into drone operators, and they're going to put a pamphlet in all the drones from the, you know, largest maker of drones, evidently. Has agreed to do this. And so they're trying to be proactive on education over legislation kind of approach. And could that, when they see that, could that possibly, you know, entice someone who's learning to fly a drone? Like, hey, if I can fly a drone, maybe I can learn to fly a plane and kind of go that route. But you're not necessarily saying that. You just see it from a business, purely a business opportunity.
It's going to bring customers to our business because of the way they're regulating it. Like I say, it's not going to be the ideal customer we have. They're not going to be as motivated to fly because that's not their end goal.
Got it. And Keith, do you have any comments along that line too, or no?
Not at the moment.
Okay, hey, Lenny.
Because it's not even him.
we just jumped a deer out and he's sneaking up on him with his gun.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought you just ran one down. Gave up trying to shoot him. You just thought you'd run over one. Oh, he did. He jumped off the ATV as we speak. He's like...
He's hunting.
He is literally stalking Bambi as we speak. Right now, live on the radio.
Yeah, he's sneaking up on it. Yep.
Well, you're going to have to give us a report on that. Let us know if he gets it.
Run for your life, Bambi! Run! Or is it Rudolph? We don't know. And we'll get the lowdown next time right here on Just Plain Radio. However, coming up, we got Abington from the Abington Watch Company. Stay close.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. Here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed. And we've let Keith go because he is, you know, off killing Bambi, Rudolph, or Blitzen or Vitzen. I don't know who the hell.
Literally. It was talking on the phone with us 1 minute and then hopping off the ATV to go after it, spotted a deer and hopped off the ATD to go get it. And then all of a sudden we're talking and there's Lenny.
That's right.
Who is our other business partner with Flight Training Official. So they're up hunting together.
His hunting partner. Yeah. Yes. So if Keith has his way, he will ruin Christmas for many of thousands of little young boys.
They're not reindeer.
Are you sure about that?
I'm sure.
How do you know? Where
they're
are they
in
at?
Ohio. There are no reindeer in Ohio.
I know. There's reindeer in Ohio. You grew up in Ohio. We had these reindeer.
I grew up in Illinois. What are you talking about?
Oh, well, I grew up in Ohio then. I saw reindeer, or they, I don't know, they took dogs.
That was at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Okay. And I don't know, where's he hunting? We don't know where he's hunting.
He's the other side of Ohio.
Okay.
Southeast
Ohio. So says you, if we read about him in the news or see him on the news.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, hunter goes berserk in Cincinnati Zoo. Anyway, all right. So, you know, we let Keith go do his thing, you know, kill Bambi and those guys and traded them, you know, upgraded, I guess.
Yeah, I would say definitely upgraded.
Abington is on the line with us right now. Abington, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good. Happy holidays to you. Merry Christmas, the works. I don't know if you feel bad about Keith going to kill Rudolph. But, you know, he has to put food on the table, so he says. I don't know how you feel about that.
I'd be okay with him. Not Bambi, not Rudolph, but that elf on the shelf. If he could go kill that thing.
Yeah, that
I'm with you on that.
I would be so happy about that.
Okay.
But
so we're condoning murder now on Just Plain Radio. Because that's like a person, isn't it?
No, it's not a person.
It's full of fluff. It's just a bunch of Christmas craziness.
Yeah.
You've had it up to here. All right, well, look, we will regroup and we'll kind of pull it back together and find out what Abington's been up to next right here on Just Plain Radio. And we apologize. A little late for that now, but hey, what are you going to do?
J. Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Oh my, it smells like Grandma's house at Christmas. That's when we found her dead on the toilet.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure you treat me nice. And I feel just like I'm living in
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Ed. And now we're joined by Abington as well to round out your crew for this holiday shopping season. Don't forget the pilot on your list and me. I would like stuff. Something really big, expensive, whatever you can spare. Maybe a plane. It's at the top of my list. I don't know. You got a few things you're hoping to score this season there, Abington, or what?
Oh, my gosh. I always like trips. I don't necessarily like things. I'm not a very big thing owner or cutter. I like going to places and experiencing things. Mm-hmm. So maybe trips to places that are nice and warm would be nice.
Well, you've been doing that.
Wait a minute. Aren't you flying an airline in the Caribbean?
There's a reason why I'm there. Okay. During
yeah, right. Well, tell us how that's going, because last time we checked in with you, you were just getting ready to put in some time in the right seat, right? Is that right? Am I saying? Yeah, the right seat.
Yeah.
So you get the hours in to be the big cheese, the head captain of this airline that's flying all throughout the Caribbean. And
And I'm loving it. I'm island hopping. I'm flying over water. It's just like ferrying an airplane, except it's a huge turboprop. And I've got 34 passengers behind me. But it's awesome. I mean, just having to do the calculations so fast, because it definitely is an issue when you have, this is like the tourist season right now for the Caribbean.
Yeah.
So you have way more passengers than you normally have at any other time of the year. And so weight and balance is an issue. I mean, we had a situation a couple days ago where I had to kick off either two passengers and both of their checked bags, or one passenger and all of the checked bags. And we just kind of had to make the decision, because we were not legal to take off had we not done that, had we not gotten rid of 393 pounds.
Wow.
So it's super challenging, but it's a lot of fun. I've been a few times overnight to Dominica and to some of the other islands, and it's just crazy raining, but it's nice, hot, and humid in the 80s, and I'm loving it. So
very nice.
Have a good time.
Now, when you say you have to watch the weight and balance, now I've been on these planes. Yeah, you're talking about flying that route to Dominica. They got a fairly tight landing situation in Dominica. It's not outrageous, but don't you have to kind of dip down into the valley to land into the airport there in Dominica? Am I right?
Yeah, they call that the valley approach.
Well,
and
there you go.
The first time I did it, I got yelled at by a by a passenger. She was like, "Don't ever do that again." And I'm like, "What do you mean? That's the approach." So I just don't think she was used to it.
What, she didn't like the drop, like a roller coaster type of thing there as you get closer to the runway, or what? Is that what she was complaining about? It was a passenger?
It was a passenger, I know. And I was like, did I do it wrong? You know, the captain who's been helping me get used to the plane and all this stuff, he's like, you did it perfectly. Do not even think of it. Like, don't even take that to heart. Huh. But I guess for passengers that are looking out of the window and looking up at trees, that could probably be pretty unnerving.
Yeah.
So you really are. You're flying through jungle in order to find this airport that is around this hill, past the banana tree farm. It's pretty daunting if you don't know what to expect.
Yeah,
so that's probably
it is
your first time.
I would compare it to the movie Jurassic Park. because when you approach the landing area, it is very lush, rainforest, tropical, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And you're kind of like, whoa, you know, where's the old guy with the glasses? He's going to greet us at the
at the gate.
Yeah. And it is kind of freaky. And then, you know, finally, you never really see the runway when you're a passenger. You just see all this greenery. And it can be a little bit intimidating, I guess, if that isn't what you were expecting to see at the time, thinking, like, we're going to land in this or are we going down?
And in the cockpit, too, the terrain warning is going off. You know, terrain, pull up, all of that.
and you're training yourself to ignore that.
Yeah. Well,
I know, and I'm sure the passengers can hear it through the thin door. You know,
well, that's what I'm wondering,
5 feet away from the first passenger in row one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So.
But you do have doors on these particular planes. Some of those planes that fly in there, they're much smaller. But this one is a regular domestic carrier or international carrier where you'd have a door and lock and the whole thing, I guess, right? Because it's like a 35-seater.
Yeah, it's a Saab 340.
Yeah.
So we get locked in and everything. So
now, do you have to take your landing into Dominica more into account than where you're taking off, like St. Martin? I would assume so, right? Because St. Martin's a major airport. No problems there. Plenty of runway space, the whole thing, right?
Totally. St. Martin's fine. St. Thomas is actually pretty small. Believe it or not, we usually take off on 2.8 with a tailwind because we get better acceleration altitudes and better performance out of the airplane for weight and balance. It's just the way that the numbers were written for this aircraft for the airline.
Yeah.
So we usually take off with a tailwind out of there. And I'd say St. Croix is pretty good. Tortola, Beef Island, that can be pretty daunting sometimes. You definitely need flaps 15 typically. So some of them are pretty tricky, but it's always a challenge. Love it.
When you say you need flaps 15, you mean to take off or to land?
To take off.
Do you need flaps? Well, because you have to get higher up quicker?
Think of a short field takeoff.
Yeah.
You use 10 degrees flaps in the
water. What are you trying to clear? Are there trees or something? Are coconut trees you're trying to clear? Or is it just you're running out of runway and you're going to end up in the water? What's going on there?
Running out of runway.
Okay.
End up in either the water one way or the jungle the other way.
Ah, yes. Either one. Bad outcome.
Yeah. Both bad.
Yeah. I gotcha. Yeah. Okay. But when it comes to, once again, to weight and balance, like when you're doing that roller coaster drop into the Valley of Dominica, do you have to balance? I've been on these planes, and I've probably been on this particular plane, actually, because I've done that route several times, and they've actually spaced us out in the airplane. And that kind of made me, it didn't make me nervous, but I was like,
you're ballast.
Obviously, but I'm thinking, wait a minute.
Just think of in sailing terms, you're ballast.
Yeah, you want us to move to this seat and that seat? When it gets to that specific type of weight and balance for a passenger, that can be slightly unnerving. Are you having to do that with some of the folks there on your planes too, or no?
Pretty much on every flight we have to. If you've been on the Saab, since it has, let's see, the 34 seats, it's 11 rows. So you've got the first few rows are section A, the next few rows are section B, section C, and section D. So we can have so much weight in A, so much weight in B, so much weight in C, and so much weight in D. Mm-hmm. So we do have to move people around. It's just like stations on your Cessna 172 when you're doing weight and balance. You know, you have so much in the baggage, so much in the back seat, and so much in the front seats.
Yeah, right.
And we have to do the same thing.
Now,
so.
Are you guys using actual weights or estimated or standard weights for passengers?
It's all standard. So every adult is 184 pounds. Every child is 76 pounds. Every, you know, checked bag is 30 pounds and a heavy bag is considered 60 pounds. So
now, wait a minute. Hold the phone. Now, especially during the holidays, right after Thanksgiving, does the stewardess walk down the aisle and go, hey, we got a code fatty in B section. We got to move this ballast around or something like that. I mean, is there like special airline code amongst the crew when you have that situation?
I've only been there a month, so no, I haven't seen anything like that. There might be, but as far as I know, every adult, regardless of their size, is 184 pounds.
Mm, interesting. Well, I guess.
I would like to be 184 pounds.
Good point.
So I wouldn't, yeah. And for me, I'm like a big whopping 110 dripping wet. So it's kind of strange.
The theory is that it'll all balance out. That's the theory.
Yeah.
That's a theory.
Think Peter Pan and shave off 10 pounds. And that's what you got with Abington. And that's a compliment. I mean, she can fly too. So you're liking the gig. It sounds like it's a lot of things you got to juggle, but it sounds like it's pretty exciting stuff that you're doing throughout the Caribbean, right?
It's completely different than what I've done. And if there's anything I really like to do is challenge myself and make my comfort zone a little bit larger. So I'm totally stepping out of the box. I've never done anything like this before.
Cool.
So I'm really enjoying it.
How many crew members are on the on these planes that you're flying right now? It's you, another pilot, and what, a stewardess or two?
Yep, one flight attendant. That's it.
That's it. And you're me flying and all throughout the Caribbean. That is so cool.
It is.
All right. And obviously, she is having a little break here during the holiday. So we'll find out what she wants experience-wise. We'll get more specific on these places she wants to go next. Stay close to Just Plain Radio.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive.
Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations.
Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night.
Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it.
There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Boy, these gusty winds appear to be playing havoc with that giant nutcracker float. At this point, I can't even see the nuts. They must have blown away.
Ho, 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 and a bottle of rum. Santa's on off to the Caribbean. A week in the tropics and he'll be all right. Sporting a tan as he rides out of sight. Merry Christmas to all and to all. Good night.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed from Flight Training Professionals, ftpros.com, the website to go and find out how you can learn to fly with Captain Ed as your flight instructor. So, Abington's on the line with us as well. Now, she just started flying as a commercial pilot throughout the Caribbean. And, you know, she's going to places like Dominica, San Juan, you know, St. Martin, St. Thomas, all these beautiful islands in the Caribbean. And you're fairly new at this, so you haven't had an opportunity to really, I don't know, stop and smell the roses and do a little diving in between flying and all that kind of stuff, I guess. Am I right, Abington, or what? What do you think?
Yeah, not yet, but there's a lot of that planned.
That is on the agenda for 2016. I got you.
For sure.
Yeah. And, but right now you're back home in Vegas, just settling down for the holidays, or are you going to be flying all through Christmas? What do you think? What's going to happen?
I'll be flying. In fact, I'm scheduled to fly on Christmas. So I'll be spending Christmas in the air, which is pretty cool because so is Santa.
Of course. Yeah. Isn't there a TFR, though, you have to observe for Santa and his reindeer? I'm guessing
worldwide
there would be.
TFR.
A worldwide TFR, yes. I would.
Wherever there are children.
Yeah, of course. All right. Well, but so you're looking forward to flying on Christmas. You're not a little bummed about that, or what do you think? No?
No, I don't mind, because I actually got New Year's off, and I'm going to be doing some snowboarding with the fiancé and some of our friends. We're going to go on a little snowboarding trip to Canada. Ooh. So it was either New Year's or Christmas, and New Year's just is going to be a lot of fun.
Well, welcome to airline life, working your holidays.
Yeah.
Well, I know, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, I could think of worse places.
Junior on the list, you're going to work a holiday or two each year.
Well, you know, if you're flying on Christmas, wouldn't that be a cool time to, you know, look outside the window and look at all the Christmas lights? Wouldn't you get a nice little view up there from altitude?
Depends how popular.
I'd probably get the same view a few days before Christmas.
Well, that's true. You could. Good point. Yeah. But, I mean, there's, you know, you got to look at the bright side of things, and that could be some Christmas lights. It could be, you know, you could see Rudolph. You could have some fun with that. You're gonna wear, I would assume, you being, you know, somewhat elf size, you're gonna dress the part on Christmas, aren't you?
Not as an elf.
Well, I mean,
elf in the cockpit instead of on the shelf.
A Rudolph.
Well, yeah, she's not a fan of the elf on the shelf. Now I'm starting to see maybe why.
No,
it's not that, Abington. Are you just getting?
What's that?
Are you just getting annoyed with me now?
Just now?
It's not the... just now? I know,
yeah, right,
right,
exactly.
No, it always seemed weird to me that you created this entity to tell kids it's watching you and making sure that you're doing good. Like, it's too Big Brother for me, honestly. Mm. I think it's doing some damage. I don't know. Maybe not. I don't have any kids, so I have no idea. But it just seems a little 1984.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that, you know, we could go on for probably three or four shows of what, you know, what's happening to kids these days.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Both of you guys are making Santa out to be a peeping Tom. This doesn't sound right to me. He knows when you've been nice.
When I grew up, he knew whether we've been naughty or nice without the elf.
Okay, you're saying the elf puts him over the edge?
The elf makes him a...
He looks makes him awkward.
He makes him a creeper.
Totally. Yeah. Oh,
I get if where you, she's coming with on this one.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you have your kids wake up and you played some little prank where the cereal spilled in the night or whatever that the elf did. And it's like you're sleeping and this elf is going around terrorizing your home and writing with toothpaste on the bathroom mirror to be good. That's a little weird.
Okay. Well,
just Hollywood movie.
I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
A little creepy.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. What can I say to that other than we're sorry? And if there's any kids listening.
I'm just glad I didn't grow up with the elf. I had good old Santa and Mrs. Claus, and I made cookies on Christmas Eve and set them out with milk, and I got cool gifts. So
yes, I grew up watching Santa Claus Comes to Town, and ironically, I mean, literally, I think it was the night after Thanksgiving, it was on TV, and it's like, and I just started saying all the words right before every character said their words, and my son was like,
"Will you shut up?
You've seen this." He said, "Did you see this before I grew up?" I said, "Yes, I watched that when I was growing up every year."
Yeah.
And he's like, "How old are you?" Yeah.
Oh, no, a Christmas Story, like, that's a great movie.
Oh,
I love A Christmas Story. Mm-hmm. So there's some good ones. And the Play-Doh Rudolph movie. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah.
But it's like all the characters that are made out of Play-Doh.
Yeah, and that was the Santa Claus Come to Town. That was the same type of claymation.
Oh.
And then the Rudolph one was on. I don't think it's been on yet, but I think it's coming
on. What? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Of course, yes.
That was a classic.
It is the holiday season, though, and we can reflect like that, reminisce. It's good times.
Yeah.
And then we can ask our, you know, our better halves for some aviation gifts. And I'm guessing one that you would suggest, Abington, might be a Abington watch from the Abington Watch Company. Am I correct there in assuming such nonsense or what? What do you think?
You are absolutely correct. That's like the best Christmas gift
of
anybody
course.
Could ever get anyone.
Absolutely. How many are you getting, Ed?
I thought there were watches for women.
Well, so?
Not necessarily. We have a few unisex styles.
Oh, well, really? There you go. See?
Yeah.
Check that out.
Catherine and Storm is it's a solid matte black watch. It's a really, really cool watch with the Aedis bezel around the dial.
There you go.
And probably Amelia in Runway Black is another favorite with the guys. And actually both Amelias, the Cloud White with a steel band.
Hmm. All you have to do is go to theabingtonco.com and you can order yours in time for Christmas. Am I right, Abington? You'll get it to them before Christmas Eve, even though you're working on Christmas Day.
My company will still be working. They're shipping everything out every day. We do overnight shipping too. So if you're a procrastinator, that's not
that would be
a
me.
Problem.
I don't start till the 23rd. What are you talking about?
And that's just good form. And we'll leave it at that. Till next week, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site for Morbid.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.